Tim 20 Man joins us now to talk a little Detroit Lions. Tim, how are you?
Good. Yeah, you know, you guys come up with a nickname that I haven't heard before, and I'll be really impressed. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Well, what was the best one though? Because that's a pretty kick-ass last name.
Like, you know, it suits me well because people don't forget, you know, very often. You know, the most popular one I probably got was, "Hey, you got a 20 man," and it, just things like that. I mean, there was a new one every day.
Oh, I bet. Did you just roll around with 20s then? Is that what happened? You should have had just a t-shirt that said 20 man on the back. People wouldn't even have got it. That'd mean awesome.
Yeah, I had 20 pennies rolled up to give everybody.
Nice. The Detroit Lions, I was reading an article beforehand that studied the Lions season last year and said they might have been the unluckiest team in the NFL, and they actually should have been a lot better than their record stated. And, you know, these were guys, you know, going into profound detail on you know, unlucky plays and bounces and different things like that. And I read, I was like, okay, like, I get it. You make your own luck, and maybe they were unlucky. You're a guy who watched all the games. Were they that unlucky?
Well, I'll give you a statistic that I thought was mind-blowing, really, after the season concluded. It was this team was either tied or had the lead in the fourth quarter of 15 games last year. And it's a team that finished 7-9. Just think about that. So in 15 games, this team had a chance to win right there, you know, in the fourth quarter. And like you said, it was a blown coverage. It was a bad bounce. It was not being able to complete a pass and not being able to get off the field on third down. So there were a lot of different things that went wrong in the fourth quarter, especially down the stretch for this team. And, you know, I don't know if you call it bad luck. Luck kind of create itself. Sometimes I think good teams create luck, but Lions certainly didn't have any last year.
So are the Lions maybe a team that just mentally isn't focused at crucial times? Is that a concern?
Well, I think part of it was that, and I think, you know, that's why you saw Jim Schwartz ushered out, and that's why Jim Caldwell is here. You know, Jim Caldwell is a guy who fundamentals are huge in him, situational football. He treats these guys like professionals and expects them to act accordingly. And so I think there is a different mindset here. This is a guy that's won championships in both in Indianapolis and Baltimore. He knows what winning football looks like, and that's what he's trying to bring here. And I think it starts with the little things, the fundamentals, the mental mistakes and limiting those. And so that's certainly something that has been his focus since coming here.
And the interesting thing about the Lions, they were 6-3 after a win in Chicago. And people are like, okay, wow, they just won in Chicago by two in a tough game. This is a team now that should make it. They finished the season 1-6, losing to Pittsburgh, Tampa, Philly, and the Giants and the Vikings. Like, it was a horrible end to the season. When you talk to guys like Calvin Johnson and some of their other leaders, like, how did this team just completely switch midway through the season?
Yeah, I think it was partly like what we talked about off the top is losing focus. It's allowing big plays late in games. It's allowing a 3rd and 15. To the Baltimore Ravens, you know, with only a couple minutes left in the game. It was mental mistakes, blown coverages, and it was frustrating because they really couldn't put their hand on it because it happened 6 or 7 times down the stretch. And so, you know, I think that's, again, what the leaders on this team, what Jim Caldwell and what they've really harped on is just doing little things. You know, this team is talented on paper. They're talented enough to play with anybody. They showed that last year. It's the little things that separate you winning and losing a game most oftentimes in this league, and the Lions just simply couldn't do the little things right, and that's been the focus all offseason.
Tim 20 Man joins us talking Detroit Lions. Of course, they open up the season at home tonight against the New York Giants. We all know about Calvin Johnson. He's the best receiver in the NFL right now. The running back position looks like it's Bell and Bush. Will we see more of Bell than Bush?
You know, I think they're going to try to really split those carries 50-50, especially early on in the season, keep both those guys fresh. I mean, I think it's a good problem to have if you're offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi. I mean, this is the first pair in NFL history that both had 500 rushing yards apiece and 500 receiving yards. So they're both dual-threat guys. Bell gives you a little bit more in the power department, and Bush is certainly the big play guy. He showed that with that 86-yard touchdown run in the preseason. So, you know, they're their own version of thunder and lightning, but they can do everything well. And so I think you'll see them both. I really do. And it'll probably a situation where it's 50-50, now depending on the game plan. You know, some game plans will call for Bush more, and some will call for Bell being a bruiser. So It'll be situational, but I expect it to be much closer than it was last year. Last year, I think it was about 57% to 43%. It'll probably be closer to 50-50 this year.
With Golden Tate in Detroit, will Calvin Johnson, will we see his catches diminish a bit?
I think Calvin will be the first one to tell you that if they do and they're winning, he could care less. You know, this is really the best number two receiver that this team's ever had around him. No offense to Nate Burleson, but he was a possession receiver. And the one thing that Nate Burleson does, and I throw Eric Ebron into this equation as well, is they can make small catches become big plays. They can take that 5-yard catch and turn it into a 70-yard touchdown. And so I think you could possibly even see Calvin's receptions go up because of those guys. And I say that because no longer our team's going to be able to triple team Calvin. That's really what defenses ended up doing against him. I even saw a quadruple coverage at one time last year. They just didn't have the pieces around him that defenses respected. And so I think they do now with Ebron and Bush and Bell and Pettigrew and Golden Tate. And so I think he's going to get, you know, more single high safeties, more single and double coverage. And I could potentially see his catches going up, not down.
Mentioned Ebron. Is he clearly the starter at tight end?
Well, I think they rotate a lot of guys in. I mean, Lombardi does a lot of different personnel packages. So, you know, he's listed as third on the depth chart, but I wouldn't really look too much into that. I mean, this is Brandon Pettigrew, and he's a three-down tight end in this league. He's probably one of the better blocking tight ends. So, you know, when they need a pass play, you're going to see Ebron in there. When they're running and short and intermediate pass routes, you'll see Pettigrew in there. You'll see both of them in there a lot. With Joe Fourier, probably more of a red zone kind of guy. So they're going to rotate those guys in. Eric Ebron's going to get certainly plenty of opportunities to make plays tonight moving forward.
Looking ahead to the Giants game tonight, on the defensive side of the ball, what are the concerns for the Detroit Lions?
Well, I think if you're talking about the Giants' offense, I think their run game, I think it's kind of been rejuvenated with Rashad Jennings. And he certainly played very well in the preseason. I think he averaged 6.1 yards per carry. So he was very good there. Now, this is the Lions team that finished sixth against the run last year. So I think it's going to be a big element to this game is can the Lions stop that, you know, Giants hard-nosed rushing attack? And look, Eli Manning turned the ball over last year. I think it was 27 interceptions. So he's been known to throw it up there, and can the Lions take advantage of their opportunities if he presents them to them?
The defense overall, though, of Detroit, regardless of who they're playing, is the secondary, is the linebacking core, where do you see as maybe the biggest question mark heading into the season?
Can they cover? I mean, it really is that simple. I mean, I think their front seven is really pretty good. DeAndre Levy is a very fine linebacker, I think. The league doesn't quite realize that. Yeah, they did a little bit last year when he had six interceptions, but their front seven overall is going to be much more aggressive. They're going to blitz. They've got a top five defensive line, but can they cover? You know, Rasheed Mathis, one of their corners, is 34 years old. He was their best cover corner last year. Can he keep that magic going at 34 years old? And then, you know, Darius Slay, their second-round pick last year, was very inconsistent, was benched a couple times last year, but now he's the guy. There's no Chris Houston anymore here, and the Lions are putting a lot on his plate. He's played very well, and I have to say it's been a drastic improvement from year one to year two watching him, but now the games begin. So now we'll see if he really is there. And, you know, one thing that hurts the Lions tonight is James Ahedebo, their big free agent acquisition at safety, isn't expected to play. He's doubtful. With the knee and neck injuries. And so, you know, there's going to be some question marks there with some depth at safety. And these corners, can they be as good as the Lions hope they are?
Detroit, where do you see them? Are they a playoff team this year?
I think they'll be playing meaningful games in December. I really do. I think this is a tough division with Green Bay and Chicago, but you look at just how this weekend started out. You know, both Green Bay and Chicago lose, so if the Lions can get one here, you're already a game up. But I think just talent-wise on paper, this is a playoff-caliber, talented team. Can they put it all together? Can they limit the mistakes and the penalties and some of the things that have plagued them the last 2 years? That's the big question. But just from a talent standpoint, this team should be right there in December competing for a playoff spot.
Well, definitely their final two games, though, on the road in Chicago and in Green Bay. They're likely going to want to have to put themselves in a better position in the first 14 games so they don't have to win those two games to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's been since 1992 that the Lions have won in Green Bay. Can you imagine what those storylines will be if they need a win to make the playoffs week 17?
22 years since they won in Green Bay.
It has. It's been a long time, guys.
And they play them every year.
Every year in Green Bay. It's been that long.
Wow.
They beat them at home. They beat them at home on Thanksgiving last year. They've had success here at Ford Field, but it's been a long, long time since they won in the state of Wisconsin. So, yeah, I think you're right. They certainly don't want to have it come down to that week 17.
We appreciate it, Tim. Good luck. Enjoy the season. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys.